Welcome to the Northside Christian Church podcast. This is the collection of weekly sermons from our staff. Northside Christian Church exists to connect people to Christ and one another, so we want to hear how God is working in your life. Share your story by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC. For more information about Northside, visit our website, northsidechristianchurch.net.
I'm Brady Clevenger, and this is Jacqueline Clevenger, my wife, and we have been on a long adoption journey.
I feel like we've grown more during this journey than I even expected that we would.
Absolutely. We kind of committed to pray about it, say, you know what, God, open doors if you want us to go through them, if not, close them, and we got pushed right through them, and my heart really changed in that time period for the prayer to just have a super, just a tender heart for, you know, a lonely little child without a home. And I know that was a turning point for me.
And it's a cool prayer that I pray for her often, is that she will experience Jesus where she is, and that there will be her people there serving her who are showing her his love. And when she gets to us, that she'll just attach to him.
God has called us to adopt. I know there's verses in the Bible that I can go back to and think of that say, you know, God sets the lonely in families. You know, pure religion, you know, is to look after orphans and widows. I think for me, I know it's the right thing to do, but I would say, you know, I don't like to wait, and so really it's something I would say that has been a major challenge for me, because I've always hated waiting ever since I was a little kid, you know, and I have had to wait so much and learn so much from that.
It's been amazing to wait with my husband and to see God even redeeming us throughout this whole process of how he has just deepened the bond that we have, and just the joy of waiting that really we never got to experience before because of our own foolishness and lack of obedience. And so I just praise Jesus for that, because I've been able to really reap that that benefit. And so that was a surprise. I wasn't expecting for the waiting to bring us that blessing either, that maturity that we've gained, and that's been really cool.
Another thing I would mention is that our boys, you know, Langston and Banning, they are just so eagerly waiting, you know, their sister, and they, you know, I have seen them grow through this whole process of waiting just as much as I have grown. So when God calls you to do something, don't let fear get in the way, you know, and listen to his Holy Spirit, listen to him saying, you know, just trust me, and I'll provide, and I'll open those doors.
We'll come back to that video here in just a minute, but before we do, I just have to be honest. I'm a little tired today, and I don't think it's just the fact that, man, we're getting back into the swing of stuff, and life's been crazy and hectic and all of those things, but I think there's another reason why I'm experiencing fatigue and just feeling a little tired and worn down, and it's actually not a surprise at all. It's predictable. I knew 4 years ago that this very week that I would be really tired. And it's because, like clockwork, every 4 years, the Olympics happen. And I have to watch. I can't help it. And so, you know, I was like staying up till midnight every night, you know, watching Olympics, seeing the news, and then getting up early in the morning to get stuff done. And then you get in about mid-afternoon and the you know, you're starting to feel the effects of that. Anybody else watching the Olympics, staying up late watching stuff? Yeah, that's me. So I can just tell with everything else going on, and then adding that, it's just like, man, I'm feeling a little tired. But if you've been watching the Olympics, you know that one of the big topics of conversation for the Olympics was, would Rio be ready, right? Was the Olympics even going to happen? You know, that was kind of the talk. Are they even going to be ready for this? And I know there's an element of that in every Olympics where it's kind of like, you know, are they going to get ready? But it seemed like Rio particularly, they were concerned about this because, you know, the day before the Olympics, everybody is, you know, we got concrete trucks and people are out there and contractors and work crews and scaffolding. I mean, they're trying to get venues ready. And then I saw the boat area where the boats race, and they had some big winds come in, and this happened. So the day before the Olympics, this is what it looked like. They were trying to repair this boat ramp area, and it's just all the talk. Are we even going to be ready for this? And the reason that's such a concern is because readiness is a value that is expressed differently in different places and different cultures, but everybody understands this value of readiness, of being ready, and how important that is. If you were to ask kids, what's the number one question they've been getting all week long? It's, you know, are you ready for school to start? It's what everybody's been asking their kids. Anybody who knows that my daughter is headed off to college Tuesday night, we're going with her to help her move in about 4.5 hours away. And she was in the 9 o'clock service sitting right down here, third row, right where Paul and Pam are. And everybody who knows that she's going, everybody's asked us, are you ready? Are you ready? And it's like, I mean, we're like ready and no, we're not ready. You know, it's just, we're wrestling with that. Coaches, you know, coaches right now, they're getting their teams. If you're in football or volleyball or something like that, man, you're under the gun to get your teams ready. Everybody's asking you, are you ready to compete? If you have children, you spent this morning, I guarantee you, saying, you know, we got to go. Are you ready? Let's go. Readiness is an important value. But there's also an essence in which readiness can be a life or death issue. It can be quite serious, which is why first responders spend time in training so they can be ready to respond. It's why military personnel are constantly in training. Mindy Kendrick, just this morning, she got all the coffee ready for all of you and put it out to the hospitality table. And she was in uniform and she was out the door because she had guard duty and she was headed out there to be ready. In fact, there was a phrase about readiness that they used in the military called at the ready. That's where that phrase came from. Being at the ready was when they had their guns ready, loaded. They were ready to fight. In industries and organizations that are not ready, that there are many of them in which it could be a life or death issue if you are not ready. The Bible talks about readiness. And when the Bible talks about readiness, it talks about how readiness can be a life or death issue. When Jesus talked about readiness, he talked about it being a life or death issue. He wasn't so concerned about physical death, but he was concerned about spiritual death. Eternal death is what the Bible calls the second death. That's what Jesus was concerned about. If you are not ready, then you might experience an eternal destiny separated from God. In fact, I want us to read about this a little bit. It's in Luke chapter 12. If you have your Bible or device, let's go there. Let's open up to that, to Luke chapter 12. Because in this text, Jesus is teaching thousands, but the Bible tells us there that he's also talking to his disciples. And as he teaches, as he speaks to them, he's making clear to them that readiness requires both preparation and faithfulness. That if you are going to live a life of readiness, it requires not just preparation, but it requires ongoing faithfulness. And here's how Jesus describes this in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 35. He says there, be dressed. Be dressed. That's what every parent told their kids today. Get dressed. Be dressed. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. I want us just to pause for a minute in this text and let us look where Jesus says, be dressed and ready for service. That's more than having a cummerbund around your waist at a wedding. The word dressed actually means to gird your loins. In those days, they wore robes. And so if they were going to work, if they were going to run, if they were going to fight, they had to take the robe and tuck it in the sash and the belt. It looked like a big giant diaper. But man, at least they were mobile. They could run. They could fight. They could move. And I know that doesn't really translate real well into our culture. I think if Jesus were talking to us today, what he might say is roll up your sleeves. Be dressed and roll up your sleeves. Because that's what he's talking about here. Being ready to act, ready to exert energy, ready to work, ready to put out effort. We got to roll up those sleeves. That's kind of the term that we use in our culture. I think of some of those pictures of rolling up your sleeves I had, you know, growing up as a kid. You know, back in World War II even, this was carried through, but when the women were entering into the workforce, right? You had Rosie the Riveter, who the picture of her rolling up her sleeves, getting to work to help out during a time period in American history when help was needed. When I was a kid, the cartoon we watched was Popeye the Sailor Man, right? Man, he rolled up those sleeves, big bursting forearms out there. I like this where he says, I just got to roll up my sleeves and show them who's boss. So anyway, he's getting ready to go to work right there on somebody. And so he's got the sleeves rolled up, ready to go. It was just that idea that we're going to get to work. We're going to put out some effort. We're going to exert energy. I saw a quote this week I thought was pretty clever. It said, always roll up your sleeves on your shirt. Always roll up your sleeves on your shirt. It gives the impression you're working even if you're not. And so I thought that was pretty good right there. If you just want to look like you're working, just roll up your sleeves. So you can transfer some of that advice to some of our highway department personnel that are here at the church today as well. No, I'm just kidding. I was just teasing. You don't have to, don't tell them that. They'll never come back. So anyway, look, you may be able to fool other people, but you won't be able to fool Jesus. And so Jesus says, you know, you need to be dressed, roll up those sleeves, be ready for service. And when Jesus says be dressed, ready for service, he's not talking about sitting in a waiting room, okay, I'm ready, you know, just sitting there waiting for your name to get called. Being dressed, ready for service carries this idea that you're working while you're waiting. You work while you wait. You're making preparations while you wait for the master to return. In fact, the word be dressed is a Greek word, verb, that has continuing action. So it means it's ongoing. You have to keep being ready. You got to keep staying ready. You got to get ready for service. That's why it says keep your lamps burning. It requires you to refill with oil. It requires you to trim your wicks so that you can stay ready. And that's what this is all about. It's watching for the master, living with an alertness in which we're ready for Jesus. We have a readiness for Jesus. So here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying it's not enough. It's not enough to get ready. You have to stay ready. This isn't just about getting ready. Rolling up the sleeves is about staying ready. It makes me think of all of those times that in the Bushnell house, we've been trying to get our kids ready to go somewhere important. Because if it was like, maybe they had a performance and they had to be there, you know, at a certain time and be earlier. Maybe it was a special meeting that we really had to be on time. And so you put out, as parents, you put out all this effort to get the kids, we got four kids, get them ready to go. And so you put out this effort, get them all ready to go. And maybe it was that occasion where, man, we were successful and it's 20 minutes before we need to leave. 30 minutes before we need to leave. And the kids are ready. And so Kim and I would be finishing something up, and then, you know, the time comes. It's time to walk out the door. She's like, all right, guys, everybody to the car. Come to the car. All of a sudden, you got some kids like, I can't find my bag. And it's got the costume in it or whatever. And you're like, you just packed it. You had it. I know, but it was like 30 minutes ago. I don't know where the bag is. And so then we're all in the house looking for the bag, trying to find the bag. And then you finally find the bag, and you're getting to the car. All of a sudden, you're like, where's your shoes? And he's like, well, I took them off because we didn't need to leave yet. Well, get your shoes on. So now we're finding the shoes, trying to get the shoes on. And then some, you're one, two, three. And I said, wait a minute, what's on your shirt? I got hungry, so I had some chips and dip. Well, you got to have a different shirt. Go get a different shirt on. And so by the time all that's done, you know, we're 20 minutes late. And so it doesn't matter how ready you are to leave. You're still, how's that? You're still not ready. I don't get it. It's frustrating. But anyway, there is a difference between getting ready and staying ready. And now what we're working on in our families, let's stay ready. I dare you. How about you stay ready? Just try that. So we just want to stay ready. Don't just get ready. Let's stay ready. So that's what Jesus is talking about here. We don't just get ready. We stay ready. So Luke 12 goes on, verse 38, 48. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready. Yes, because then I won't kill you. So it'll be good for you to be ready. Even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak, But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, so we're changing an analogy here, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour that you do not expect him. See, Jesus uses two analogies for himself. He compares himself to a master, and he compares himself to a thief. And what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying that like a master, he will hold us accountable. Like a master, he will hold you accountable for every word, every deed, every action, what you did with what he gave you. You will be held accountable. But the other thing is, like a thief, he will come unannounced. So he's going to hold you accountable, but you don't know when he's coming back. You don't know when that's going to be. It could be at any moment. And anybody who's ever tried to predict when he's coming back and say he's coming back on this day at this time, and you know, everybody sold all their possessions and you know, all waited for Jesus to come, they're still waiting. You do not know. It's like a thief in the night. You don't know when Jesus will return. That's what the Bible teaches. It's going to be like just like it was in the days of Noah. People were eating and drinking. They were going on with life. And then suddenly the flood came. Suddenly Jesus will come. It's not about predicting the day. It's just about staying ready. It's in the staying ready that you grow your relationship with Jesus. It's in the staying ready that you demonstrate your love for Jesus. You see, your readiness is determined by your faithfulness. The way you stay ready is to be faithful, to be faithful. Full, to be full of faith, trusting, believing in Jesus, looking to Jesus, leaning on Jesus, living every day to bring honor and glory to Jesus, to point people to Jesus, to bring glory to your master. That's how you love your master the most. Your love for Jesus is going to be shown not primarily in getting ready, it's going to be shown in your staying ready. Your faithful walk, trusting in him. Are you ready? I love what happens next, because Peter typically would say something that would kind of put his foot in his mouth. In verse 41, Peter says, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" Why is it anytime we start to feel a little convicted, is this about me or are you talking about everybody else? Am I being included in here in the accountability thing and you know all that? Are we the servants that are in? I love Jesus' response, because his response is yes. Yes. He doesn't really answer him directly. He's just, who then? The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants? Is that you? To give them their food allowance at the proper time. It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming, and he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he's not aware of, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And the servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Now, I want to share with you today some reasons to serve faithfully. Let me give you some reasons to serve faithfully. And the first one is this, is because faithful servants live every moment ready for Jesus. Faithful servants live every moment ready for Jesus. That's a good reason to serve faithfully, so that you're ready for Jesus. If Jesus were to come back and the heavens were to break open and he were to come right now, faithful servants would not be caught off guard. They would not be caught by surprise. They would not be caught unprepared. They may be surprised by the moment of this right now, but they wouldn't be caught unprepared. And it doesn't mean that they're perfect. It just means that they live every day with Jesus in mind. Live every day for his glory dying to themselves, working, serving, ready, prepared, while they wait. They work while they wait. You know, earlier you heard Brady and Jacqueline's testimony just about how they're in the middle of an adoption process. It seems like it's been going on, even to me, like forever, waiting for this child, this girl to come. And so they've just been in that journey, been in that process. But you know what? They're not paralyzed. They're not emotionally paralyzed. They're not just sitting there twiddling their thumbs doing nothing. They're not inactive or unproductive. They are working while they're waiting. You know, for the last, I don't know what it is, maybe now 3 years or something like that, maybe longer. You know, they were serving in our fifth and sixth grade ministry, and they just decided they wanted to invest weekly in those kids. They did that for like 3 years, just serving every single week with those kids. And they'd come to church after they served and all that and do their small group and things like this, but they just wanted to invest in those kids. Now with our new programming and kind of the change with that, and because of the ages of their kids now, they're working with the fifth and sixth graders on even months, and they're working with the third and fourth grade on odd months, and they're just those faithful servants that, I mean, even when, if it snows, if it rains, someone doesn't show, they're the ones that just step in and get things covered. They were helping at VBS this week, just faithful service, serving the Lord, even while they're in this season of just waiting on God, waiting on His timing, waiting for His provision. But it is productive time, and you even heard Jacqueline talk about that and Brady talk about that, how they're growing in the wait. Not only them, but their boys are growing in the wait. God uses the wait to grow us as we work. Think of a waiter. I mean, a lot of you, you're going to go out and eat after you finish church today. You're going to go out to eat. You're going to go to a restaurant. Maybe a waiter or waitress will serve you and wait on you. That's what they do. They wait on people. They wait. But they're working while they're waiting. A waitress is constantly asking, do you need anything? Can I help you? What can I get you? Do you need anything now? What can I do for you now? Even while they're waiting to know what they should do next. And while waiting for God's next leading, while we wait on Him, we do the things we already know He wants us to do. He's already laid out much for our lives. And so we do what He would have us to do, even while we're waiting on His timing and waiting on Him to show us what to do next. We just live every day saying, Jesus, what do you want? What can I do for you now? How can I serve you now? And so here's the question. Are you waiting on people? Are you waiting on people while you're waiting on God? Are you waiting on people while you're waiting on God? Are you dressed, ready for service? Are the sleeves rolled up? You know, we began this series called Our Church Serves, and then we're talking about the different ways in which we serve. And we started this series because we began to, we just know that for a healthy, vibrant church to thrive, it must be comprised of servants who are faithfully serving. And they're serving both inside the walls of the church and outside. It's not one or the other. It is both. They are servants at their core, so they do it inside the walls. They're serving the body of Christ and outside. That's why last week, Alan Tiger kicked off this series while our family was at a family wedding on our way back from Illinois. And he kicked off this series talking about our church serves personally. And we're just looking at all those scriptures from Romans and Corinthians and others that just talk about the fact that you have been given a spiritual gift by God. Every believer has received that gift. Every one of you who have the Holy Spirit have a spiritual gift. And that gift that came into your life is to be used personally. You are to use it personally. And when you're not, remember you had Mr. Potato Head there and all the members of the body. It was kind of fun. We were listening to that on our way back from Illinois, 11:30. We went to Eastview Christian Church at 9, and then we were 11:30 in our car driving, hearing Alan talk about Mr. Potato Head. And so, you know, we could visually picture all these parts going on to this body and how important that is, because you have a personal role to play. It's about how you must serve personally. But I want to tell you, for our church to be a healthy church, it starts with you serving personally, but it continues with you serving faithfully. It starts with you serving personally, but it continues with you serving faithfully. The people that God has entrusted you, your gift was given to you, not for you, but for the benefit of others. So you got to use it. You got to personally engage it. You know, it was about 2 weeks ago, I got back from Kenya, Africa. One of the highlights of that trip, and we'll be talking more about that in coming weeks, and in fact, I saw pictures this week, Paul and Pam sent it to us, of the Ndoinyo Church completed, painted. It's beautiful, and it's all painted, and even more so now, so it's looking great. But one of the highlights for us was the very first 2 days that we were there at Okoroi with the Highfields, we got to do a two-day seminar with the Maasai pastors. These are the pastors, because of the growing churches through the ministry of Paul and Pam Highfield there in Kenya that we get to support. These are the many pastors working in various churches throughout Maasai land. 27 of them came to our seminar. I think there's 25 in this picture. And they were there for 2 days. This right here is Daudi, the minister at Ndoinyo, where we did the church build, hearing their amazing stories. But here's what's so powerful about these guys is it's just not easy to do ministry there. They're not supported by their churches, not at all like our staff is supported here. And so they're making their living, doing what they do, and then trying to plant and start churches on top of that. They talked about that. They talked about the cost of that, the sacrifice of that, the hardship of that, and asking, how do you do it, you know, in the States? And so we're describing for them that they don't really have a culture of stewardship like we do. That's one of the things we taught on. And we began just to talk about that and how the church continue to thrive there. It was just amazing to hear their stories. To meet guys like Kaseo, who was attacked with a knife and nearly died, miraculous living. This gentleman right here, who when he was a baby, a leopard chased the family dog into their hut. You know, and they're like, and he was a little baby laying in there, and the leopard was up on his chest and gouged one of his eyes, so he's blind in one of those eyes. A crazy story. His mom chased the leopard with a knife and got it out of the hut, and he told that whole story. We're just like, we made sure the doors were shut after he told that story, but anyway, no, we didn't. It was too hot to shut the doors. But anyway, it was a great experience. But these guys, they're just faithfully serving the Lord with their minimum resources, with everything they have. And if they can do that in Maasai land, how much more should we faithfully serve the Lord with all the resources we have? Because did Jesus not say to the one who's been entrusted with much, much is expected? We have so much more resources we can use in service to our master. And we should serve faithfully. Jesus goes on in chapter 12, verse 36. I like that text where Jesus says there that when the master knocks at the door, so the servants who are ready, when the master knocks at the door, they immediately open the door for him. That's the cue of readiness. When he knocks, they immediately throw open the doors to him. They're ready and waiting and watching. You know, the Bible gives another picture of Jesus knocking on the door of a church, the door of the hearts of the people of Laodicea in Revelation 3, verse 20. And I thought of this text where Jesus says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He's knocking at the door of our church. He wants to come in and have fellowship with us, to dine with us, to live with us, to dwell with us, to have his presence with us. Are you letting him in? Or are you turning off the lights and pretending you're not home and trying to hide the things you shouldn't be doing? Or are you ready to throw open the door? Are you anticipating his coming, not just at his second coming, but are you anticipating his coming into your life each and every day as he knocks on the door of your heart, says, "Today I want to be with you. Today I want to have fellowship with you." A faithful servant is ready right now and throws the door open. And I love how it goes on in verse 37, where Jesus says that when the master comes and he finds his servants serving and waiting and ready, he says that the master will serve them. Now, this was totally backwards. I mean, in that culture, a groom was like a king and the bride was like the queen. And when they came back from the wedding and they came to the house, it would be unheard of for the groom to start serving, you know, the servants that were there at the house. That'd be crazy. It just wouldn't happen. And yet Jesus said, you know what happens in the kingdom of God? In the kingdom of God, when God finds faithful servants, when he returns, he serves them. He lets them recline at the table. That's what's going to happen. And Jesus serves you. That's who he is. In other words, we get to the second point. We should be faithful servants because we will be rewarded by Jesus. We will be served by Jesus. We will be cared for by Jesus himself. We will recline at the table. He will serve us. I know every one of us knows that Jesus came the first time to serve. Even Mark 10 talks about that. He came not to be served, but to serve. We understand he came to serve in his first coming. We oftentimes don't think of him being a servant at his second coming because we're thinking of him coming with judgment on the white horse, where he's separating, you know, the wicked from the righteous. The sheep from the goats, and we picture Jesus coming back to bring justice, to make all wrongs right, and he will. But you need to also have this picture, that there is a wedding going on. And the groom is coming for his bride. And when he comes back and finds his bride ready and waiting for him and serving him, he's going to then immediately bring them to the table and start serving them. That is your reward. I know you don't always get reward in ministry. You don't. Sometimes you pour in and pour in and pour in. I was meeting with a guy this week who felt like that man just sacrificing, pouring, giving so much for nothing. No return. What do you do when it feels like you keep serving, serving, and it's not reaping? Man, you just stay faithful and you serve. Because if you don't get a return here, and you there's returns you don't even know about, but if you don't see the return here, you get rewarded by Jesus. It's a good reason to be a faithful servant. I like 2 John verse 8 where it says, "Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward." Man, you're going to win a full reward when you watch yourself and you're ready and you're waiting. You be a faithful steward. You do it now. You'll get to do what you're doing now for all of eternity. Last of all, let me just say this. Another reason to be a faithful servant is because faithful servants anticipate the return of Jesus. Faithful servants anticipate the return of Jesus. Jesus said the Son of Man would come in an hour when no one would expect him. So what's going to determine whether Jesus is seen as your master or as the dreaded thief? Is he your master or your dreaded thief? Well, what's going to determine that is your relationship. If you have a relationship with Jesus, he is the master that you can't wait for him to come back. If he's not your master now, when he comes back, it'll feel like a dreaded thief who's going to rob you of what you're trying to hold on this earth. And you're not going to be ready. A faithful servant looks at the day of Jesus coming with anticipation and expectation. He's not fearful. She's not fearful of his return or dreading his return. They will escape God's judgment. And so the test, the real test of being a faithful servant is service. It's service. Are you serving the Lord and serving his kingdom? You do that by serving in the church and serving those that are outside of this church. Through faithful service, we administer God's grace in all of its various forms. And if you're not doing that, there's a significant piece of stewardship missing from your life. I like the way Peter says it. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. He says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind so you may pray. And above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." And then he goes on. Here's what he says. "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." What Peter is saying is that you have been given a gift and you should use it. If it's to speak, if it's to serve, if it's to teach, then use it. Use it for the kingdom. That's what faithful stewards do. They're administering God's grace in all of its various forms, not only so that they can get ready, but so that they will stay ready. And they can help other people get ready and help them stay ready. We must serve. That's how we get ready and stay ready. It's through faithful service to the people in God's kingdom and those who are not yet in the kingdom. That's how you prepare to meet him face to face. It is by being faithful stewards to him. I'm going to close with this little picture that the Bible gives of this. As I do, I'd like for our servers to go ahead and be dismissed for our time of communion that's coming, if you would do that. But we've been reading Luke 12, and Luke 12 is all about a groom and a bride, right? A groom and a bride, and the servants being prepared for the groom to come. It's a wedding. There was a wedding in Luke 12. Well, you know what? Revelation 19 also says there's a wedding. And in Revelation 19, as it talks about that wedding, it is the church, the bride, and the groom, Jesus. It is a wedding that certainly begins when you make Jesus Christ the Lord and the Savior of your life. But there is a wedding that happens, a wedding banquet that happens in the kingdom of heaven when we come together again, when the bride is ushered in the presence of the groom. And here's how Revelation 19:7 says it. It says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride, the church, has made herself ready." What's the word? She is what? She's ready. The church is ready. She made herself ready. How'd she do that? Through faithful service of her master, she made herself ready. It goes on, because she wears white linen, because it stands for the righteous acts of the saints. She's ready because she's living holy, and she's living with Jesus in mind, and she's watchful and expectant and ready for him. She is a bride ready. That's what we want to be. We want to be a church that is ready for Jesus. We're ready for his return. We're ready to serve him now. We're ready to do what he has for us to do next. We don't know what all that is. But we're waiting, and we're ready, we're listening, and we're ready to do what he would call us to do. And some of you, maybe right now, you're not a faithful steward in his church, and God's calling you today to be that. Others of you, you're not a faithful steward outside of this church, and he's calling you to do that, which is why in coming weeks, we're going to be talking about how we can serve this community evangelistically. We want to be a church who serves. That's what healthy, vibrant churches do. And the question I want to ask today is, are you ready? Before we take communion today, I want to make sure that we're ready. When the bread and the juice come down your row, are you ready? Take of that, to remember how Jesus served you. Get your hearts ready, get your mind ready, and proclaim today that we will be a church, we will be a bride that is ready for the groom to come. I want to ask that you go ahead and stand with me right now. We're going to sing a song to prepare our hearts for that. And let's let this be our proclamation that we're going to be ready.
Thanks for joining Northside Christian Church for our weekly podcast. Don't forget to share your story with us by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC.